How can I know Jesus more personally? Pastor Sherry just taught us a fantastic message on listening to God, listening to the Admiral. I urge you, listen again. We talk about this thing called Christian disciplines. We also know it by, if you've been saved for a few years, we call it daily devotions. But that means something. The word is devotion. What happens too often is the daily disciplines as Christians become legalistic things that beat us up when we don't do them, rather than seeing them as time to be devoted to Jesus. You know what they are? Read, study the Word, pray daily, praise, sing. I mean sing, don't just download or play your DVD or CD. You sing and lift your voice. How many know it's not good enough to let the DVD be your voice? We're all called to make a joyful noise. I can't sing, Pastor Kent. It's okay. It's all right. The Lord gave you the voice He gave you, and He loves to hear it. Is prayer, fasting, and worship, which is our topic today, are these things just legalistic works to earn me the presence of Jesus? If you've surrendered to Jesus, and you're going to go into your notes now, Jesus is already inside. You don't have to work your way in to His presence. How many can say, thank God? You don't have to work your way in through the shed blood of Jesus. We already dwell in His presence, church. Thank God. But why do we then enter into or experience prayer, fasting, worship? Why do we do these things? Your notes have it written out more completely than this overhead has it. They are my ways of loving and blessing Jesus. I get to love Him. I get to show that I love Him. How many are in love with Jesus this morning? Man, if your heart didn't melt during those times of singing to the Lord, you need to stop long enough and say, Lord, why is my heart hard? Because God wants us with a tender heart to be able to worship Him. But my ways of loving and blessing Jesus, and especially as I do these things, though He's inside of me, I become more sensitive, in His first fill in here, to His voice. As I praise Him, as I worship Him, as I fast before the Lord and seek His face, there's a sensitivity that happens inside of me where I can actually hear His voice in a better way. Now, man is spirit, soul, and body, a three-part being. Before you were saved, I think you can probably agree with me that you were ruled by your flesh. No matter how much your soul, world-controlled soul, had it controlled, meaning maybe you were raised in a home where you didn't talk back, or maybe you were raised in an environment where you were polite. Maybe you were raised in an environment, even if you weren't saved, you were a nice person because of conditioning. And that soul that you have controlled what the body did. You didn't slam the door in people's face. You didn't rip them apart one side and down the other. And if you did, you felt bad most of the time. Come on, someone say, no. No show of hands on that one. I can't believe it. We had a world-controlled soul, but when the Holy Spirit breathes on us, brings us conviction, we get saved. You know, it's amazing. The hound of heaven chases us down. We end up surrendering. Our lives fall apart. We surrender to the Lord, and then we say, I found Him. He's gracious, and He comes, and He says, come on. I'll breathe on you, and I see you, and I want you, and I want you to be with me. And so we give our life to Him. And then, what happens when you get saved? You get a new spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells inside it. Your spirit is alive and responsive. And then what happens? Your soul, mind, will, and emotions is typically how that's identified. How many know that your soul is still being transformed? When you gave your life to Jesus, how many got instantly made perfect? Let's see the hands. No hands. How many know this road is a process of becoming more like Him? So the Holy Spirit breathes on us, we get saved, get a new spirit, the soul is being transformed, our minds begin to change, we begin to think like Him, act like Him, have attitudes like Him. The body, our flesh, gets weak upon occasion. Lust of the flesh, temptations weaken us. Distractions bombard us all day long and hinder our ability to hear Jesus. A weak soul leads to weak flesh. When your spirit is saved, you get a transformed soul that leads to transformation in the activities of your flesh. You don't just learn to go do a new way of life because you're a nice guy or a nice girl. You get saved and the Holy Spirit begins to transform us. And the things we used to do, we're not comfortable doing anymore. And so we change our life. Now the Spirit-led man or woman, the Spirit-led man or woman rules over the flesh by the Holy Spirit's keeping power. How many can say, thank God for the Holy Spirit's keeping power? Turn to each other and say, the Holy Spirit's keeping power looks good on you. Dunamis. Dunamis. The Greek word is to, when you're filled with His power, that's explosive dynamite power. That keeping power of the Lord. Let's talk this morning about prayer. About prayer. Now prayer is communion with God through any form of effective communication. Communion with God through any form of effective communication. Two-way communication. How many know prayer with God isn't just dumping your prayer list and your want list off on Him? What I want for Christmas is, when we were little kids, we thought like that. But when you're in relationship with Jesus, you don't just dump off your prayer list. By the way, neither are you begging a supreme deity who is so far away from you for coming through to give you a little blessing. That is not the way it is. Thank God Jesus comes inside your heart. He's here. He inhabits us. And we walk with Him by faith. He's right here. Taking time with Jesus releases tangible fruit in your life. Watch what the Scripture says. John 15 verse 5. I'm the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in Me and I in him bears much fruit. For without Me, you can do nothing. I know a lot of us like to think we're winners, we can handle it all. That's not what the Bible says. And in fact, there's another verse, I don't have it here, it's not very flattering. Remember when Paul said, so not many rich, wealthy, not many really sharp people got saved. That leaves all the rest of us, right? So what's the alternative? The alternative. Without Me, you can do nothing. Jesus Himself set apart time with His Father. Watch the Scripture. Before daybreak, the next morning, Jesus got up and went out into an isolated place to pray. In Acts chapters 1 through 4, we see that the early church was birthed and sustained and activated, made victorious because they were in prayer. Prayer. The thing we know we should do and the thing we don't always do. What is prayer? How do we pray? How do we pray? I'm going to give you some very simple tips this morning. There are many books, many words, many lessons and sermons we could give. But let me just give you an overall this morning on these topics. How to pray. Pray, the first word is every day. Every day. Man, every day quiet time. Now, I don't care if you want to get up and walk to the park and you're talking to the Lord on the way. I don't care if you want to ride a bike and do that. Maybe you drive a car and do that. Or maybe you'll do what I did in college, man. I had times when I'm living in a dormitory and people are smoking dope and partying all around me. And the way I got alone with the Lord is I took all my shoes out of my closet, little closet there. I crawled in the closet and closed the door behind me. I really had a prayer closet. I used to do that every day. Man, I heard fantastically from the Lord. And then I made it a repeated pattern. And I remember one day I'm in there praying. God said, what are you doing in the closet? You know, okay. But whatever form of effective communication and communion you have with God, where you can hear from Him and share your heart with Him. Matthew 6, verse 6. When you pray, go into your room. When you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the what? The secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. He loves you. Listen, may I say something to you this morning, please? Jesus loves you so much, that He wants to welcome you and me. He wants to communicate with us. This is the opposite of struggling to try to earn your way into God. You have a God. You have a Lord. Jesus already went to the cross, gave His entire life, was died and buried and rose again so He could be with His people. He wants to talk to us. So when He sees you in that secret place, that set apart quiet time, He wants to reward you openly. Number two, pray to the Father in Jesus' name. To the Father in Jesus' name. John 14 tells us that if you ask whatever you ask in My name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified. If you ask anything in My name, I will do it. Now, church, the bottom line is we're God's family. We're family. The word Abba, Abba, Father. We're basically coming to God, and He sees us as family members, and He's honored when we pray in Jesus' name. We are saying, I'm your family, and I'm part of you, and Jesus is my Lord, and I get to come to you because this is my house. When you went home every day growing up, unless you had an abusive situation, did you have to stop at the door, knock on the door, or ring the doorbell, and every day ask permission to come inside after school? If you did, it's kind of a strange place. Now you walk in, throw your stuff around so your parents can yell at you and tell you to go do your homework. Well, three of you were like that, I guess, along with me. Pray for personal strength. Number three, personal strength. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Built up, edified, growing. Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings that can't be uttered. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Have you ever had a time in your life where you were just so messed up, confused, you didn't know what was going on? That's the time to begin to speak in tongues because the Spirit prays through you and prays for you. What a great God. How to pray? Number four, pray in confidence, with faith, believing that He hears you. 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions we have desired of Him. Mark 11. If I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. How many love knowing Jesus wants to answer your prayers? So come to Him. Talk to Him. There's another section of Scripture where He told His disciples, hitherto or to this day, you haven't asked anything. Come on, come and ask Me. God's got big thoughts, big plans. He can do above and beyond all that we ask or think. So let's go ask Him. Amen? Anybody in this room, show of hands, have some things on your heart you'd like the Lord to do for you? All right? God wants to help you and me. Take those things to Him. There is nothing too big. Nothing too small. May I encourage you this morning in prayer? Let me just say it simple. I don't care. You don't have to have these and thous. You don't have to talk in King James English. Thank God you don't have to do that. Just communicate your heart and then pause long enough to listen. Anything, everything, whatever's on your heart, talk to Jesus about it. Our quickest temptation sometimes is to talk to other people when Jesus says, come, come to Me. I'll bear it with you. How do we pray? We pray with a right heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. We've been there. But we pray for with a right heart, clean from sin. Because the Scripture says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. Do you understand that if there's any bitterness or grudge in your heart toward another brother or sister, then that's going to hinder your prayers? Come on. Someone say amen or oh no. It'll hinder your prayers if you hold a grudge. Spouses, you need to forgive each other. Friends, you need to forgive each other. Because holding grudges only destroys you. In fact, usually the person you have a grudge against never know. They never know you have it. They never know you have it. So Let it be forgiven and release them. Release yourself. Let yourself out of prison. Mark 11 says, when you're praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. 1 Peter 3 verse 7 declares, husbands, likewise, dwell with them, your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Guys who run around thinking, you better submit to me, I got all the authority, have totally missed the heart of God. Someone say amen, and it ought to be the ladies. You're heirs together of the grace of God. Because the Bible says, if you've got that kind of stinking rotten attitude, your prayers are going to be hindered. Come on, guys, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. No answers. Do what you can. By the way, sometimes, when you try to make things right with your spouse or with your friend, they don't always want to quickly make it right. You humble yourself, you do what you can, and then leave it before the Lord and keep your spirit clean. Amen? Is that good? All right, pray. How to pray? Pray persistently. Watch this verse out of the Amplified. Luke 11, 9 and 10. So I say to you, ask, and what? Keep on asking. It'll be given to you. Seek, keep on seeking, you will find. Knock, and keep on knocking. That's the literal Greek tense of that verb, of those verbs. Ask, keep on. Seek, keep on. Knock, keep on, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking persistently receives. He who keeps on seeking persistently finds. To him who keeps on knocking persistently, the door will be open. Now, I have no problems with people who in faith say, give it to God once and leave it there, and if you pray about it again, then you're showing lack of faith. I have no problems with them if that's what God's quickened in faith in their own heart. But my Bible tells me He welcomes me to come and keep on coming. Not pleading with no faith, but coming, saying, God, I'm not going to give you any rest. Hey, Lord, you are the one who promised me you'd answer me. He wants us to keep coming. And then how else to pray? Pray with other believers in Matthew 18. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there amidst them. How many are thankful God loves to answer your prayers? Come on, church. How many are thankful God loves to answer your prayers? So let's go to Him consistently and persistently and all these things. I believe as we will take time, even more every day, right back to visiting our foundational devotions, if we'll take time, Jesus will speak to us, meet with us, and our lives will continue to change to be more like Him. Amen? All right, let's talk about fasting. Here's everybody's favorite topic. Okay, well, Pastor Kev, I'm a great success in fasting. I have fasted successfully between the time worship ended and your message. Fasting. Jesus didn't say, if you fast. He says, when you fast. You go, oh, come on. This is the least enjoyable part of Christianity. Well, the key is in Isaiah chapter 58. I've given you the scripture. If you'll take time to read that on your own, Isaiah 58 verses 6 through 12, the Lord promises He will meet with us in powerful ways. I'm here to tell you, you don't always get the answer that you're looking for from the Lord right during your fasting time. But what you are saying is, Lord, Your word, hearing Your will, knowing Your heart is more important to me than taking food, than my being comfortable right now. Your word, Your voice, it's more important to me than my comfort right now, than my taking that extra piece of something. Lord, what I want is an extra dose of hearing Your word. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Fasting. When you abstain from food and drink, and your word fill in is to devote yourself to seeking God. Fasting. Jesus said, when you fast, again, not if you fast, Matthew chapter 16. There are three kinds of fasts. You have your notes in front of you. Three kinds of fasts. Let me just quickly go through them. There's the normal fast. Again, these are not in depth on every one of these topics, but to whet your appetite to go further and find out what the Scripture says. And there are tremendous materials and lessons on these topics. What's the normal fast? Well, the normal fast is when you fast from all food and drink except water. Matthew chapter 4 tells us when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. It doesn't say he was thirsty. And many people, by the way, if someone is pregnant or nursing, or ill, you should not go without fluids. And so in a case like that, I have many friends who have done 40-day fasts, 20-day, 30-day, 40-day fasts. And if you have medical issues, I would urge you to seek your medical practitioner, make sure that you're doing what is safe and believing the Lord and doing what's proper for your body. But the normal fast is just taking water. The partial fast. What's the partial fast? How many have heard of the Daniel fast? All right, you look at the book of Daniel and you see that he restricted himself from certain foods or restricted the amount of food or drink. That's what happens when you have a partial fast. Daniel 10 verse 3 talks about, I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. How many think his neighbors were glad when the 3 weeks were up? All right. But he restricted himself from certain foods. You know, you have certain kinds of things that take place every year, and during the Lenten season, people give up certain things. And there's no problem as long as your motivation is more than religious tradition. If your heart is to be sanctified, set apart, be devoted more to the Lord because you want to hear Him more, and this is what you're able to do, it's great. It's a serious and sincere fasting before the Lord. Now, the total fast, number 3, the total fast is from all food and liquid. And you see that Moses did that in Exodus 34. Esther did that in Esther 4:16. And you have Paul who did that in Acts chapter 9, verse 9. Your references are there in your notes for you to be able to look that up. Now, 3 days, you guys, is considered the maximum time, really, for this kind of fast where there's no food or liquid. Usually it shouldn't be for more than 24 hours. But there have been times, and you can probably testify it in your own life, there are times when you are so serious and the need is so sincere that you are calling out to God. Remember when Jonah went to Nineveh, he didn't want to do that at first, but then he went in finally after the Lord got him into a whale and he said, okay, I'll go. So Jonah goes to Nineveh and he preaches the word of the Lord. And what happened? Everybody right down to the animals themselves in that country fasted. And they sought God and the Lord moved powerfully on behalf of Nineveh. You remember that? All right, so there's a serious situation for fasting. What is why we fast? Why do we do it? Number one, to better hear His voice and direction. You're softening your heart. You're quieting your flesh. Can anybody admit along with me that sometimes the flesh has a pretty loud voice? Remember the old commercial, "Aren't you hungry?" Remember? I used to hear that and answer, "Yes, I am. Thank you." Yes, thanks for the reminder. But there comes a time when I realize my body isn't just a machine for food. My body is here to glorify the Lord. My heart is His. Lord, I'm entering into a time, or maybe I have a decision, or there's something that I want to hear from You about. And so what I'm going to say is, the time I would normally be eating, I don't become a monk somewhere in a monastery, but the time I would be eating, I'm going to set aside. I'm not going to eat right now. I'm going to skip that. Not just to skip a meal, but during the time I would be eating, I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek Your face. Because Jesus, what I want is You, and I want Your will, and I want to hear Your voice. So You're softening your heart, quieting your flesh, so you can hear His voice and direction. Acts 13, verse 2, they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to Me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. You see how it happens there? They fasted and the Holy Spirit said, separate to Me. Number 2, to pray more effectively, receive His answers. out of Ezra, we see the scripture when they were going back to the city of Jerusalem after being in Babylon in judgment. So we fasted and entreated God for this, and he answered our prayers. How many remember that section of scripture? They were going back to reestablish the city after being in sin. They were taken into captivity, and then they went back to reestablish the community, and they sought God for his protection. Number three, to cleanse and chasten the soul in repentance. Sometimes there are times when you just want to pour your heart out to the Lord. You know you blew it, and you're repenting. It's not a work. You're saved by faith. You're forgiven by his grace, and yet you know you want to change, and there's something really serious inside. So it says in the scripture, Psalm 35, I humbled myself with fasting. Psalm 69, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting. There's that element as well. And then next, strong prayer for others. Look around you in the room here this morning. Look around. Look around. You see any friends here? People you like to pray for? People that you know could use your prayers? People that you hope they're praying for you? Strong prayer for others in Isaiah 58 that outlines the purpose of fasting. Look at the verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. So when you fast for somebody else and you're praying for them, you're saying, Lord, I see my brother or I see my sister. God, set them free and let that thing that's so heavy, that weight upon them, Lord, I help them carry that burden and I support them in this need. God, be with them. And there's a strength in that prayer as you devote yourself and set apart time in prayer and in fasting. Matthew 17:21, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting, referring, of course, to the time when the disciples weren't able to cast that spirit out, and Jesus comes along, does it by his word, and they say, Lord, why couldn't we do it? He said, well, sometimes you got to get more serious. Comes out by prayer and fasting. My encouragement to you, if you've never experienced a 24-hour fast, whether it was just drinking water or if you have medical reasons to restrict yourself from certain foods, if you've never had a 24-hour period where you've devoted yourself to fasting during those times of meals and you said, I'm going to take this to the Lord, may I encourage you to do so? It will help you in your walk with the Lord, and those questions you might have, the things that you might have that you want Jesus to answer, you might not get the answers during the fast, but sometime in the next week or two, you watch, the Lord will answer you and give you an answer to the question and concern of your heart. Amen. Prayer. Fasting. What's third? Worship. Worship. How many like worship? Me too. Did you know that the word worship comes from the two words, worth-ship? And it was shortened to worship. It was shortened to that. He is good. And we worship him because he's good. Somebody say, God is good. We worship him because he's good. But church, it's not just his hand of goodness. We worship him because he's God. We worship him because he's Almighty God. He's the sovereign God, the master, the king of the universe, the creator of all. He says, and we do what he says. We worship him the way he wants. Well, I like to do this. But what does this say? What does the Bible say? How should we worship him? How can we respond to him? How many want to live Christianity according to the way the Bible teaches us? Me too. I want to. So worship. What's worship? He's looking for worshipers. Watch the scripture. He's looking for you. He says, but the hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. He's looking. Are you a worshiper? Has he found you? Has he found me? God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, must respond to the Holy Spirit as he calls us, and must respond according to the word of God, in spirit and in truth. And the Bible says we're commanded to give him praise, because the scripture says, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. You're going to spend the rest of your life doing that, right? And then guess what? Welcome to eternity. How many know heaven's going to be a fantastic worship service? If you don't like worship here, you better repent, because there's going to be a lot of it there, right? Amen. We get to worship him forever and ever. Give unto the Lord the glory, due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Jesus sees you. When you're worshiping, He looks and says, man, they're beautiful. Do you know what? I get to see from this vantage point. I imagine the singers and players could say it with me as well. When we are in worship, I could look across this room, unless somebody's really struggling, as a whole, the countenances are full of light and love and grace. Why? Because the presence of the Lord lifts your spirit and ministers and touches and heals and delivers. Isn't God good? Amen. Worship. He's looking for us to worship Him. All right, worship is an eternal truth, guys. Old Testament and New Testament. David is our best example in the Old Testament. David did something radical. How many know David was a radical dude? And God loved him. God loved him for it. He set up a tent for 24-hour worship. They remember, they had the tabernacle of Moses and the wilderness, and Solomon came along and built the temple. But David comes along after following and getting the kingship, and he is so concerned, there's got to be a new place for God. There's got to be something. And what does he do? He builds a tent. He pitches a tent. They brought the Ark of God, set it in the midst of the tabernacle, the tent that David had erected for it. Now, get a load of this, you guys. I don't know if I'm going to be able to successfully impart this to you. This is completely radical. They had an entire system of priesthood. And man, the Ark of God, it was separate. Only the high priest went in one time a year, just once a year. And you better go in just right or you're toast. There's a verse of scripture that says that. Don't go in wrong or you're toast, right? That's a modern version. One time a year. And David comes along and he says, man, I just want to be with God. I just love this God. Anybody know David blew it a few times? Yeah? The Lord made sure we saw that. How many are glad that the Lord doesn't write everything you've done wrong down in the Bible for everybody's sake? Yeah. So, what do we have? David pitches a tent. And what do we have? They offer burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank, to praise the Lord God of Israel. Church, where were they ministering? Before God. Before the Ark. This is radical. David, here's in your notes, David set up a new tabernacle. A new tabernacle in a new location, with a new priesthood, to minister with a new boldness before God, in God's presence, before the ark, which was forbidden, and also to bring a new song. To bring a new song. So this is this radical king who loves God so much. And over here, at Shiloh and elsewhere, you've got this tabernacle of Moses, and you got people doing sacrifices and offerings. And you got the whole thing going on. And David's over here saying, man, I just want to worship him. Come on, you guys, sing a song. Let's worship. Let's just hang out with God. And you know what God says? I'm not going there. I'm going here. God says, I want to be where I'm loved. He presences himself where two or more are gathered who love him, who adore him, who want to worship him, who want to give him their everything. And he says, that's where I like to hang out. Well, where do you like to hang out? Where you're not liked? Or where you're loved? God says, I love it. He loved it then. He loves it today. Watch the scripture, Psalm 69. I'll praise the name of God with a song. I'll magnify him with thanksgiving. This shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull. Psalm 78, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had placed among men, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved, which was the site of the tabernacle of David. Church, in the last days, now watch, in the last days, I want you to see this, God is going to restore, not the tabernacle of Moses. The Bible says he is going to restore, say it with me, the tabernacle of David. After this, I will return. And I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I'll rebuild its ruins. I'll set it up so the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all these Gentiles who were called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. Jesus comes along and looks at the temple, and he is so mad at the money changing and the sheep that are being sold and slaughtered and somebody making a profit. So the Gentiles, the court of the Gentiles was where it happened. Nobody could get through to go worship. And he turns over those monies and he says, money tables, and he says, my house is to be a house of prayer, God says. He wants this, where people can love him and worship him. Now today, what do we have today? What do we have today? I'm going to say this, and it's not up there. We, your feeling is we. We are the spiritual priests who offer praise and worship. We are the spiritual priests who offer praise and worship. 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9. Let me just read this scripture. Now I'm going to get to a section where I'm going to go really quickly. I've given all the scripture references that I've used in the message to you in your notes. So I'm going to go quickly through, but I want you to hear this. This is New Testament. Listen to it. You as living stones, 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Listen to the Bible. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, so that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Come on, church, can you praise the Lord? You're the spiritual priesthood, not the old thing, but the new thing. And he says, I put myself in the midst of that praise. I'm right there with you. Worshiping God and loving him involves all of you. Say, all of me. Mark 12, Jesus answered him, the first of the commandments is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Let's talk about those just really quickly. The heart in the Greek sounds just like the word we use. It's cardia. It's cardia, cardio. It's cardia. It means heart, the thoughts, the feelings. The soul is the psuche in the Greek. And it means your breath, your soul, that vitality that drives you, that which makes you who you are, your mind, the deep thought, the faculty, the exercise of the mind, every element of your life God wants to have as praise to him. And your strength literally means the forcefulness, your ability, your power, all of those things, your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength are to be given to God in praise and worship with every element of my being. I've come, Lord, today to worship you. Amen? And worship, the Bible is full of, we are to be happy, loud, and physical. Come on, say it with me. Happy, loud, and physical. Worship God the way he wants. Well, I just like to mentally assent. All right, well, that's a part of it. Your mental ascent is part of it. But you find all through Scripture ways he wants to be worshipped. Now look, football fans, fanatics, go through more worshipful expressions on a football field than most believers do in church. Amen or oh no, church. Amen. They stand, they cheer, they clap, they hit people. Don't do that in church. But they're shouting and they're singing songs and they're cheering and they're fans and they go, oh man, my team going to win. But when it comes to Jesus, they look at each other and go, shh. You know, that's just embarrassing, Pastor Kev. I'm not like you. I'm not loud. It's all right. It's all right, but worship God the way he wants. What are some biblical expressions in worship? Biblical expressions, vocal. The scripture is full of singing, audibly praising and shouting to the Lord. I'm just going to read some of these verses. You have them all. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you. The book of Revelation. I heard, as it were, the voice of great multitude, the sound of many waters, the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. You ever stood next to a powerful waterfall? Is it just quiet as a church mouse? Not sure where that phrase ever came from. How many church mouses have you ever seen? Church mice. Because they're quiet. You don't see them. That's right. Lifting and clapping hands. Lifting and clapping hands are physical expressions to the Lord. Clap your hands, all ye peoples. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, I desire, it's New Testament as well. Some people look at me and say, hey, you're quoting all the Old Testament. New Testament too. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Musical instruments. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with lute and harp, with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. How many know that God had a great time in His house with a band? Yeah. Now, there are people who love, absolutely love a cappella singing. There are persuasion in some certain groups that musical instruments shouldn't play a part. Well, listen, we love everybody, and if that's your persuasion, I praise God. But the Bible is clear that there were musical instruments in Old Testament and New. So what we are here to do is worship Him as best as we can. Physical expressions like standing and bowing down, kneeling, falling down before the Lord, dancing, rejoicing, and singing. You bless the Lord, O you servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. How many know you honor God when you stand before Him with the humility in your spirit? Now, if you can't physically, that's one thing. Let's pray healing power for you. But we're not here to force anybody into anything. But the Bible says it's a very clear position of praise. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Every knee should bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Luke 17 says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, remember the 10 lepers? One of them turned around and he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. And the psalm says, praise His name with a dance, sing praises. Now in the Old Testament, this is kind of fun, just as a little aside, there's a word in the Hebrew that comes down to the root word guul, G-U-W-L, and it means to dance. It's translated to dance. And the word literally means to whirl about under the influence of any violent emotion. How many have ever seen the Hebrews dancing in their Hebrew dancing? It's a very biblical position of praise. It means to stomp, skip, leap, and jump. In the New Testament, you go, okay, all right, that's the Old Testament. Right, we don't see that anywhere in the New Testament. Well, let me tell you, there's a Greek word, and it's translated, and the Greek word is to jump for joy and to rejoice. And Jesus Himself did it. Now, if Jesus did it, how many know you can do it? You like to skip when you're a kid? And Luke 10:21, it says this, at this very time, He rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise You, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. That literally means Jesus was jumping and skipping down the road full of the joy of God because His disciples had responded in the Lord. Isn't that cool? I got 13 people listening to me. Isn't that cool? I know, you're all looking at each other like, what, you're going to make us stand up and jump around? That's what we're going to do? No. All right. How many know another expression of praise? It's to offer tithes, extravagant worship. It's an act of worship. You go to Deuteronomy and you find out about the law of giving. You see your references there. The widow and her two mites, that was an act of total extravagant giving on her part. And the woman with the flask of costly oil that broke the flask over Jesus and poured out the oil. It was extravagant, an act of worship. All right, one of the benefits of worship as we come to a close on prayer, fasting, and worship this morning. What are the benefits? And if I can't get that to work, then we'll just go on. All right. Number one, sensitivity to God's voice. Fresh insight into the Scripture. Sensitivity to God's voice and fresh, your fill-in is, insight into the Scripture. Insight. I-N-S-I-G-H-T. They ministered to the Lord, Acts 12 says, and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Colossians 3. Listen to Colossians 3. Really cool. Colossians 3 is saying, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's the act of worship, as we are instructed. How many, you know, even just taking the one that Dorothy led us in this morning, that song was a psalm or a hymn or a spiritual song that instructed us and led us in a heart response as a congregation saying, yeah, really, Lord, you're the only one I need. You see? And so we were all built up and edified as we're reminded, oh, yeah, he's everything. He's all I need. What do we receive? We receive personal strength. Number two, personal strength, spiritual victory and deliverance. Psalm 8:2. Let me just give you a couple of verses. You have the references. Psalm 8, verse 2. Listen to the verse. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and avenger. So, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Now, take a listen as that verse is quoted in the New Testament, Matthew 21. And Jesus said to them, so Jesus is the one who's going to quote this verse. Remember, ordained strength, right? Jesus said, have you never read out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? Three people get it. You got it? Ordained strength, which became in the word of the Lord, perfected praise. So when you praise the Lord, there is strength that comes into your soul. There is strength that comes into your spirit as you enter into worship. How many know that when you've entered into even our song services here on Sunday morning, we're built up and you go out of church stronger than when you came in. Amen? The ordained praise and strength, as you've praised Him, strength results in your life. 2 Chronicles 20:22 is the great verses about they were surrounded by the enemies and God delivered them because they sent the praise and worship team out first to face the battle and the enemy routed and ran in confusion and killed each other. How many of you would have liked to have been on that worship team? You know, I just feel led. I feel led, Daria, that you should go to war in front of all of us. We're behind you all the way. And that's exactly what the king did. Okay, praises, go out there first. What, me? All of a sudden, the bass became a soprano. Huh? And God took care of it. Listen, as we praise and as we worship Him, God takes care. The enemy is routed. The devil has to flee in Jesus' name. How many know the devil doesn't like to stay in any worship service where he is being lifted, where Jesus is being lifted up and praised? All right. Thirdly, the gifts of the Spirit are released in worship. The gifts of the Spirit are released. It's very scriptural, guys. Let me give you one reference. 2 Kings 3, verses 15 and 16. But now bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played. When the musician played, 2 Kings 3, 15 and 16, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Listen to this out of the message. 2 Kings 3, 15 and 16. Elisha is the one who's the prophet here. The prophet could prophesy any time. He could prophesy to the doors and doorknobs. I mean, this man was a prophet of the Lord. And he says, because they're asking and looking for a word from the Lord. And his instruction was, bring me a minstrel. And when a minstrel played, the power of God came on Elisha. He then said, God's word, dig ditches all over this valley. God speaks when His people gather to worship Him. Are you glad? How do you have a faith alive in the 21st century? How do you have it? Be alive in Jesus. Church, I said, be alive in Jesus. Come on, be alive in Jesus. Pray and enjoy your time with Him. Fast and take time to hear His voice. Worship. Give Him your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Be expressive for the Lord you love in prayer, fasting, and worship. And He expresses His presence and love to you as you are. I am so glad that Jesus gathers us and meets with us as we worship Him, aren't you? Father, we thank You for the opportunity to pray, to fast, to worship You and seek Your face. Lord, we thank You that though these aren't works You tell us to do to make ourselves better, they are keys to open up greater doors of blessing and love and a sense of Your precious presence. We do them because we love You, Lord. But we love You because You first loved us. Thank You for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank You for Your word. And they all said,
amen.
Turn your page over, and on the back page, you'll see this incredible poem that's written quite some time ago, but it's called No Christian is Greater Than His Prayer Life. It's the back page of your class notes. The church has many organizers, few agonizers, many who pay, but few who pray, many resters, but few wrestlers, many who are enterprising, but few who are interceding, people who are not praying or playing. Two prerequisites of dynamic Christian living are vision and passion. Both of these are generated in the what? Prayer closet. The ministry of preaching is open to a few. The ministry of praying is open to every child of God. Don't mistake action for unction, commotion for creation, rattles for revivals. The secret of praying is praying in secret. A worldly Christian will stop praying. A praying Christian will stop worldliness. When we pray, God listens to our heartbeat. Hannah's lips moved, but her voice was not heard. When we pray in the Spirit, there are groanings which cannot be uttered. Tithes may build a church, but tears will give it life. Our emphasis today too often is on paying, and theirs was on praying. When we have paid, the place is taken. When they had prayed, the place was shaken. That's the difference between the modern church and the early church. In the matter of effective praying, never have so many left so much for so few. Brethren, let us pray. Amen. Now, I think, do you have, or you're going to hand out now your faith activator page. These are simple statements of belief and commitment, and we'll ask you to just take a few moments with these, and then we'll pray together again as we close. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And one more verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. We love and receive and worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we commit all of this to you in the powerful name of the Lord. And they all said,
amen.
Amen. Be released.